and welcome to episode 238 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa. I'm joined by Matthew Figueroa. We're wearing the same couple of shirts.
I was actually just going to say that. Thought you'd never notice. We planned this.
It just that penny just dropped in my head.
It's the first thing I noticed. Like, that's exactly
what
I'm
We're wearing the exact same shirt.
What do you have?
I'm wearing the Mario shirt.
Oh, no. See, I'm wearing Sea of Thieves.
Okay, well, it's gaming adjacent.
You've got a similar shirt, though.
I got a green one, if I'm mistaken.
Okay.
It was at E3 we attended, yeah. And we played Sea of Thieves. Yeah.
Hilarious.
I think we actually gave it an award there, and they were quite shocked.
It's like, I had a good time with Sea of Thieves.
They're like, what?
Oh, wow. This guy, are you sure?
Do you want to come back to the studio and tell people that? It's like,
and then the game launched and then it was okay. Now it's in a much better place.
Oh yeah, that game is like one of the strongest in Microsoft's catalog at the moment. So yeah, people love that. But I do remember at launch, we gave it a proper go. It was you, me, Darren, I think it was.
No, Darren wasn't at that E3. It was...
No. I'm just saying when it came out, we played like co-op. And I think he was playing with us. I think Jeff tried as well. It took him about 5 minutes to be like, fuck this.
I never played it at launch. You reviewed it.
Did you not?
Mm-mm.
I played it with a few people co-op. I swear it was you and Darren.
No,
but I might
be
mistaken.
Yeah, just the rest of the lazy.
Or it was a beta or something that we played early. Because I do recall us having a good time with the stupid NSYNC music and stuff in that game. Yeah, it's a good time.
Nice.
Hello to the week.
Hello. You stole my thunder there. I was totally going to point out your shirt. It's cool.
I'm sorry.
I've got nothing to pivot to.
as I looked up, I was like, wait a minute. It's like very
the first
similar.
Time you looked at me all morning, like, good morning. Oh, hold up. What's going on there?
I see we've still got your blind situation at the back there, still doing its thing.
We'll address that later. We've got a very important question about that.
I think I was at a friend's house yesterday, and I think he had similar blinds to you, and I think I understand how they work now. It's two sheets, and one when you like pull the drawstring, I don't know, it moved one of them.
Yes.
So then they're like... The front and the back one are kind of like out of sync, but that means then it blocks people seeing in. And then when you put them parallel to one another, then you can see.
We'll do it. Don't worry. We've got a very important question. We'll use to address
this.
We'll do a live demo later. I'm wearing pants. Well, I was wearing pants last week. I'm wearing appropriate pants this week. So if you're an audio listener, you've got about an hour and 20 minutes to get home and then put on the video feed.
Just see your blind situation, what's going on.
If you're at ShopRite or Checkers, get that grocery trolley like out to the, you know, just pay for it. Okay, get home. If you're at work, while you're listening to this, tell your boss something urgent came up.
Need to throw up YouTube real quick in the boardroom TV to inspect it correctly.
You left your hair straightener on. It's cool. You got to get home. Make sure it's off.
Okay.
You didn't feed your cats. And your cat will murder you if you don't get home and feed them immediately.
I mean, I don't know about you, but my cats would do it even if I did feed them. So fair excuse.
You know what is, I don't know if I've told this story. So obviously since I've moved, I left my children at home. My two kitty cats. And we all know, I've shared this before, Lupin is the cat who will tap your nose at 4 a.m, which is very cute initially. Yep. But then a week after he does it every single night, it becomes very frustrating because it disrupts your sleep. And he's like, hey, man, could you please feed me? So when we left him with my mom, he wasn't allowed in the room. He had access to the rest of the house, just not the bedroom at night while they slept. But over the weeks, she's since been like, oh, shame. Like we let him into the room. We just didn't have the heart to leave him outside. And then shortly after, she's like, oh. You won't believe what happened last night. He tapped my nose. It was so cute. It's like, what are you doing?
Like, nope. You have invited the demon into your room.
No, I think it happens every night. My mom's like, it's so cute. I'm like, for now.
This happens to Shani every single night.
It happens to me nearly every single night. And I know people say, yeah, okay, but then you must just ignore him and then he'll get over it. So I tried for many months. I ignored him and then I just had restless sleep from 4 to 7 when I got up. And I've since learned that the best thing to do is I just get up and I feed him. It takes me 15 seconds. I give him what he wants and then I get straight back to bed. It's interrupted, but it's 15 seconds versus 2 to 3 hours. So
I'm still of the opinion if like they started doing that as kittens and you immediately were like, no, I will not get up. I will not reward you for this behavior. Then it would stop. But now that it's been ingrained, there's no way.
See, I'd agree with you, but that's something Lupin learned 3 years ago. He never used to do it. On a day he was like, man, I'm hungry. And he's just like, please.
Please, he tried it once. He's like, shit, that worked.
He's like, I can't believe that moron fell for that.
I've lived here for 5-6 years and amazing. I've never thought of this. Amazing.
It's free food. Yeah. Hey, Lena, I'm going to get us some food.
Yeah, I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad for you and I feel bad for Shani because my cats don't. When they come to me to do that, in a very rare occasion, they'll do that, and I'll just be like, no. And then I'll put them on the floor, and then they'll go to Shani, and that will be that.
Toby's like, Abby, I tried.
They've given up. They've given up on me. Either I sleep too deeply, or they just don't give a shit.
Father said no, but mother, she's weak.
The one thing Shani does try, which is quite hilarious because it works sometimes, is she'll grab, it's only Toby that does this, she'll grab Toby and just smother him, cuddle him. And he'll be like, fuck, I've made a mistake. Mistakes have been made. And he just runs away then doesn't come back.
Man, cats are the best. Luna is that cat. She hates being smothered. Lupin's like, yes, embrace me. Just give me all of the attention. Luna hates it. I don't know why, but she'll come to you on her terms. She'll be like, hey, listen,
yes,
can I have some love? And then she'll accept 2 minutes of it and be like, I'm over this. Don't touch
I'm
me.
Done.
And she just leaves. But it's when she would sit on your chest, but awkwardly yes, please give me the attention, but don't touch me. Look at me, but don't actually stare at me. And you're like, what do you want?
You touch them and the worst with the cats is as soon as you stroke them, they turn around and lick exactly where you touched.
I love it.
And it's fucking asshole.
You filthy peasants. Yeah. How dare you?
Yes. Cats are just, it's like, I'm giving you affection. They're like, absolutely not. No.
You touched my fur coat? Who do you think you are?
How dare you?
See how this pays off at 4 a.m.
Exactly. Absolute revenge.
We'll come back. We'll put a pin in this and we'll readdress it at 4 a.m.
I want to go back in time to the first person who domesticated a cat and ask them why. Just why did you choose this completely ungrateful species of animal?
I want to meet them and say pets. Thank you, and also why?
Yeah, just why? I'm not angry at you. I just want to know the reasoning. That's all. What was the rationale behind this choice?
What is the business pitch?
Yeah, listen, exactly. Go to the ancient pharaohs. Be like, what the fuck are you thinking? What are you doing?
Listen, I need company at home. Okay, I need a. You see these wild cats walking around. Believe me, I can make them my pets. The pharaoh's like, you think you can make them your pets? You'll be their pets. And the person's like, no, listen.
They will listen to me. No, they won't.
And mistakes were made. It's a great curse of Egypt.
And cats put up with us for so long that they even went through the process of being mummified with their pharaohs and were like, yeah, this is still an acceptable trade-off. This is still fine.
Mm.
Do you think they woke up pharaohs at 4 a.m.?
Oh my God, probably. Pharaoh's like, please get this cat out of
my... That's why they got mummified.
Yeah, we'll see when I die what happens to you, little shit.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm playing the long game here.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know what else is a long game? I'm not actually sure because I haven't finished it yet, but video games. They're quite long.
You haven't finished video games. Yeah, that's the...
I haven't finished... No, the one big game called video game. It's still an ongoing work in progress. Yeah.
It's great.
Video games. Talk about them here in Checkpoint Chat. I don't want to ramble for too long because There's two relatively large games talk about. So let's talk about Call of Duty. No, I'm joking.
Oh, my God.
I'm joking.
I'm not mentally prepared.
Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Brothers Wonder came out this past Friday.
On the same day.
On the same day.
Gamers Archer feasting. Truly.
Why can Mario not swing on his webs? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, where's the spider power up, Nintendo?
It would have been such a cool like little crossover thing, like give Miles a suit that turns his electric attacks into like fireballs or something, and then give one of the wonder powers in Mario is like you get to swing on webs. That'd be cool little synergy.
Give Peter and Miles a hat that makes him go wahoo when they swing around.
Yeah. there's a moment in Spider-Man that you're gonna come back to this conversation and think about. It's a good time. Let's talk about Spider-Man because I think that's the one we both played. Well, I know for a fact I have not played Mario. So
amazing, Spider-Man 2,
Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
You've played a lot more than I have. I've played literally, so we got code on launch day. So we haven't had time to roll
credits. I took leave that day, so.
Yeah. You little shit. But I've played maybe 2 to 2.5 hours, but you've played a lot more. I don't know if you've played 5, 10.
Listen, I can't depend on the little tracker on PlayStation because it says I've played 5 hours, but also that I've finished 60% of the game, and I highly doubt that.
You've played 5 hours, also you have finished the game. You're like, what? Man, it's so much shorter than the original.
Most people are saying it's a minimum of like 18 or so hours. I'm just like, math doesn't check out.
I've seen 18 hours for the main campaign and like 30-ish hours for the platinum.
For like completionist runs and stuff like that. So, I think this is a really good follow-up to both Spider-Man and Miles Morales, and I think that's primarily because you get to play as both characters this time, which is really, really cool.
Yeah,
it does immediately show me or make it even more evident that Miles is way more fun to play as just because of his powers, but maybe that stuff will change when Peter eventually picks up the little symbiote suit, which even in my extended playtime, I don't have yet. So, there's lots else happening in the story, but that hasn't exactly happened yet. I think the footage we have here is that it's the opening.
It's the opening. It's literally, there's a cutscene and then you're out there swinging to fight good old Sandman.
It's a very cool opening akin to, I think the openings of both of the previous games have also been quite good. The first one was the raid on like Kingpin's Tower and the second one was stopping Rhino's rampage through the city. I think this one's like on par with those. It's just like a really big scale battle that kind of sets the scene for the rest of the story. But this is like way larger in scale because like Sandman is just huge and his effect on the city is much larger. Like there's just sand everywhere and it's kind of neat swinging. Oh, no, good Lord. No, this is like Tatooine all over again.
Oh no.
I kind of like how even still in my game, like there'll be times where I'm swinging through the city and like an intersection will still be like covered in sand.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the city is slowly kind of getting rid of the effects of this opening battle, which is a nice little touch. I think I found immediately, I played Miles quite well. No, I wouldn't say recently, but when it came out on PC again, I played quite a bit of it again. So I feel like my muscle memory is still in place there.
Same.
And what I like is that they don't take away abilities from you. There's stuff in there that was definitely like an upgrade in the first game that you just have off the bat here. Which I like quite a bit. And then, you know, there's obviously like the skill trees for the new abilities, which lets you expand on those as well. So, but it feels like a sequel to those games. It doesn't feel fundamentally different in any large way. I think you and I were hoping for like a drastically, not drastically different, but like an expanded open world.
Yeah.
And I think that aspect hasn't changed that much. The crimes are still the sort of like chase a car, drop into an alley and beat up people, or like then there's a lot of these like very specific mini game styled side missions, like I don't know, the Prowler one is like find his stashes around the city, or I just unlocked a new one where I have to find little different types of robotic spiders around the city. It's like all of those little things.
It's just it, like it's a busy work, just dots around the city.
But I feel like it's a bit more organically placed. Like I feel like I'm completing a lot of those things naturally on the way to a main quest rather than having to deviate completely and feel like I'm wasting my time. So that's quite neat. What's your experience been so far with
I think right off the bat, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it feels, it's almost silly to say this, but it feels like a PS5 game. Like it feels visually the game is just gorgeous. It's funny because I think in my head, I'm like, yeah, but Spider-Man PS4 looked that good. I think if I put them side by side, it'd be like, oh no, there's definitely huge improvements here. I think even in terms of how, like lighting, obviously there's, it just looks good, but even in terms of how dense the city looks or feels, it feels like there's way more traffic, for example, there's more people walking around. And I think that is because, you know, this is a PS5 game, not available on PS4. Like if you've got a PS4, sorry. But I think it works to the benefit of Insomniac going like, we actually have all of the horsepower of the current gen console and we can really lean into that. And also just the sheer number of things that are happening on screen at any time. I was quite surprised to pop into a random crime scene and, oh, hey, there's Miles also fighting the criminals, which is very cool. I didn't know.
Oh, have you done that? I haven't seen that happen yet, but I know it's a possibility.
Oh, yeah, I've had it once or twice where, and it's just stuff like that where I think I agree with you where you and I were hoping for maybe, again, like not drastically different, but Spider-Man 1 was a lot of busy work. Like I loved that open world initially, but then when it was like, oh, every district has 5 random crimes, I'm like, that's like 80 crimes, whatever the hell the math was at the time. I've got to swing around, do all of them. Miles Morales was a lot better in that regard because it felt like a tighter, more focused campaign with some busy work. But this game, from the little bit of open world stuff I've done, I've had the right analog stick in, and it's like, oh, there's this there and that there and this there, and I'm like, oh my god, it's all the busy work. But like you said, it's a lot quicker. It feels like it's more intentional. You know, I don't think I'm gonna get 5 crimes per district. It'll be a handful of things per district. Which just makes it more palatable. And I think you use the right word, like it's maybe more organic. You're swinging past the photo op. Why wouldn't you stop to take the photo there? You're swinging past a crime.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a lot quicker. Like I was saying to you before we started recording, one of the crimes from the original games were, oh no, there's a car. You've got to swing to it and catch it. And then there's like this whole mini game of you've literally got to like web the 4 people in the car. You've got to dodge, push buttons, whatever. In Spider-Man 2, you've still got to catch a car, but then the moment you're there, it's like you do 1 button press and then you stop the car. I'm like, cool, you've shaved off 20 seconds and it makes it feel a lot more seamless, which is cool. So I think they have listened to that, because that was probably the biggest criticism of both games. It's like the busy work just gets a bit tedious after a while.
I think that's why the Miles expansion felt so much nicer was because like it was so much shorter, so there was far less of that stuff to do. So it just felt focused by comparison.
Yeah.
And I think they've struck a bit of a middle ground here between like the scale of a bigger, you know, not an expansion sized entry into the series, but like a game the same size, if not a bit larger than the first game, but without the feeling of like it being padded out.
Yeah.
I feel like there's like, I'm always, it almost feels like I'm mainlining the story, but at the same time, it feels like the game wants me to do that because there's a lot of story content. It knows that that is the main draw. It's not trying to, there's actual like side missions, which are different to the like city crime things, the like short little mini games. There's actual like side story missions, which are pretty good and lengthy. Yeah. But like the main draw here seems to be the campaign and that stuff's been pretty good so far. Like I'm quite enjoying the story. I think there's really cool character moments and really cool, really interesting motivations for characters here. Like some of the issues that Miles is going through and some of the developments in like Peter's life with like him trying to find a job or like, I mean, that sounds like the classic Peter story, but it's different within the context of the people that are with him in the story now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think that there's a good balance between like this is a very action heavy story mission and this is like a very story driven one where you're just walking and listening to people, you're doing these small little flashback moments and
yeah.
It's really good.
I think on that, like obviously it feels good to play and be a Spider-Man, whether you're playing, well, I mean Miles is arguably better. But I think what I really like about this universe is the story they've told, where it is like in Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales, it is familiar enough where you're not doing, oh, here's Peter getting bitten and oh no, Uncle Ben's dying again. It's literally, no, you're a Spider-Man who's been in this universe for a few years and we've got the same familiar villains, but how they interact or their motive or what their motivations are like different enough to feel fresh. And then they throw Miles in and it's just, I love this particular universe of Spider-Man, like seeing Peter and Miles face life together. Does, I mean, even in the opening 2 hours, like they're both going through so much. They set up this premise of like to touch on what you said, like Peter's trying to get a job, like we've always known that, but shame, the dude's like in his, I think he's kind of in his mid-20s and he's still struggling out here. Miles is in high school trying to get into college and like it's difficult being Spider-Man. And I think that's, I love those. I mean, I think that's always been one of the strengths of this hero across all mediums, is like it's kind of relatable of, you know, we've all been in high school, we've all had to deal with work and stuff, but like how do you balance your life with that sort of thing? It's just cool to see how they tackle them. And I'm very excited to see how that unfolds here, because I mean I can't tell you, I've read a lot of Spider-Man comics, but I mean I know enough about Spider-Man from movies and cartoons when I was a kid, but I don't know much about Miles and Peter both being Spider-Man even outside of like the Spider-Verse movies. So I'm very interested to see what happens here. And then throw Venom into the mix, spoiler, that's like one of the big bads, it's on the cover. Well, I think it's hinted at on the key art, if you didn't know that. I'm just keen to see how the story plays out, because I think both games on the story front have really hit it out the park.
Like, definitely.
Spider-Man 1 with, spoiler, like Aunt May dying, and just that whole arc of him having to face Doc Ock, who's like his mentor in that universe. Like, what a cool spin on those characters. So I'm very keen to see what story they tell here. Sorry, I know I'm saying it in 45 years, but that's what I'm trying to say.
No, it's but I agree with you, and I think they are exploring character motivations, which are also like you said, Spider-Man has always been about this struggling hero who's trying to balance a normal life while being a superhero. It's like the dichotomy of being a superhero that isn't explored by like the likes of an Iron Man or a Batman or whatever. They are just the hero. But I think what's cool here is that they explore other themes through that same lens. Like in the case of Miles, he's using, very early on, you can tell that he's using the responsibilities of Spider-Man as a crutch or an excuse to run away from the responsibilities of his life. Like he will just be like, oh, I've got to go do spider stuff, and that means I don't have to do this other thing, or I can just avoid this conversation, and like that's definitely something that they are looking to come back to and be like, this is not the way to go about things. So yeah, it's cool. I like that aspect of the story, and I like it. Almost feels like they're trying to. I don't think they will, but it's almost got this air of they're trying to set up Peter retiring as Spider-Man type of thing. Like he's got this opportunity to really do something good for the world without having to be Spider-Man, and then you got Miles who can definitely take that up by himself. So yeah. I don't know whether they follow through on that, but that's the sort of like sense I'm getting now. But I can see how it's going to tie in with, you know, the characters and themes that are now going to come later in the story. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see that play out. The one thing I really, really like about this in terms of improvements, they're like a couple of new mechanics. The one that you're introduced to early on is the, what are they called? The web wings?
I
think they call them. Mm.
Like the, super the cool. Wingsuits, love whatever that's called.
I fucking love it. Like I thought swinging around in this game was pretty perfect already and it didn't really need anything else. But the web wings, I think, change the way you can get around the city and also help you get across to the new areas that, you know, require you to go across large bodies of water.
Yes.
And I was unaware that they had this, like, they have these, like, sort of wind tunnels in the city that, like, as soon as you hit them, you kind of don't go down when you're using your wingsuit. And you kind of, if you keep going through these little rings, you'll just maintain,
altitude.
And it feels so good. It just really is such a cool mechanic. And I love mixing up, you know, gliding with these web wings and then swinging again and getting to like a little vent that pops me up into the air and then using the wings again to glide even further. So it's really, really cool. And I'm glad they added this. Like I was a bit dubious at first when I saw it in the trailers. I was like, oh, okay, so now we're just flying around. But it's a really thoughtful addition to your repertoire. And I think I can't go back now. I don't think I could go back to playing the old games without this now.
Well, if you're watching the video footage, it's almost like the time that this is the wings being used. But I agree with you where like one thing Insomniac absolutely nailed in the first Spider-Man is how good it feels to swing around the city. And I take my hats off to them because how do you make that better? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You put the creative team in a boardroom like, hey, you did good, but you got to make it better. And the answer is a wingsuit. And it's like, of course, it feels like such an obvious answer, but for them to do it and then do it that it feels as good as it does, that, like you said, switching between just, you know, fly, like quote unquote, flying around and just swinging around, it is good fun to get around the city.
Yeah.
It still feels good
and,
to get around.
And again, it's additive to the experience instead of like, okay, so like a comparison to Batman, the Arkham games.
Yeah.
Throughout the Arkham, I might be mistaken when it comes to Knight, but I distinctly remember this going from Arkham Asylum or Arkham City to like Arkham Origins. Like, you had this ability where if you grappled to a point, you could like double tap A and then you would like engage like a fast mode on your grapple and that would
like
propel you forward. Yeah, like you'd launch and glide. But in every single game, when you started the game again, you had to relearn that ability, which felt really bad because it's like, I've just come off knowing I can do that.
Yeah.
And now suddenly I can't do that. So in Spider-Man, it's like, when you web zip to a point, I remember in the first game, you had to upgrade Spider-Man's abilities
like
so that you could
off,
do like a launch. Yeah, if you pressed X when you got there, you launched off. Yeah, you just have that. Like, so instead of removing movement abilities from you, they've just given you new ways to go about doing things so that you can like expand that repertoire as opposed to being like rebuilding exactly what you know from muscle memory. And
yeah.
I think it seems like the most obvious answer. It's like, yeah, of course they would do that. But it's like games don't do that.
No.
Like it's so few manage to do that, that it's exceptional when a game gets it this right. So
yeah,
I like it. The other thing, I don't know if you've played any stealth sections yet. You might not have got to this point
really,
actually.
No.
So there's a point in the game where, you know, you've got the same sort of like Arkham style predator missions you are taking out people like slowly.
Yeah.
You've got this new ability called a point.
I know web exactly point what you're talking launcher. About.
You can aim at any wall
yeah.
and make like a web tightrope that you can walk across. It's pretty cool because the levels that you are constantly faced with kind of require you to use that. There's not enough places for you to kind of perch up and, you know, hide in. Yeah. So you're forced to create these little corridors that you can walk across. It does make the stealth somewhat easy because, like, suddenly you can be on top of anyone. Yeah. But it is a cool little ability that I think is a nice little addition to the stealth. There's far less stealth in this one than the previous games. I feel like they've really leaned more into the combat side.
Yeah.
And that aspect still feels really good, like juggling people in the air and keeping them in the air and using your abilities to do that. The different abilities between Peter and Miles are pretty cool. And I'm curious to see what Peter feels like when he's got the symbiote suit, but so far Miles is much better. I'm just going to say that.
So I put that out there. Yeah, I'm very keen to keep playing this game. I'm early hours, so I've got a lot to catch up, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I think I'm very curious to chat to you about certain parts of the story that I've already experienced that you're like coming up on.
Nice.
There's some good, very, very good moments. Also, just lastly, I guess, the way it blends Miles and Peter in the story is very seamless. Like, when it decides to switch, you can switch between them at any given point.
Yeah.
But when it decides to shift the focus from Miles' story to Peter's story, and when it intertwines them, is very, very clever. I think, you know, it definitely doesn't feel like, oh, they've smushed two games together. This is a joint story between the two. So, yeah, it's good.
Love to see it.
That's Spider-Man 2. I mean, this is just a somewhat like a short preview of what we've played. We are both not nearly at the end, so there'll be a full-on review soonish. But yeah, it's good. Like, it is a good game. It is Insomniac doing the things they've been doing for the past couple of years, and that's just like knocking it out the park.
They don't miss.
Yeah. They don't. They like, haven't missed.
Yeah, one of Sony's prize studios.
I would say, to be honest, if you had to look at the past maybe 5 to 6 years, like, easily Sony's most consistent studio out there. Not only putting out good games, but putting out games frequently.
Yeah.
Like, just in the PS5 era, they've put out 3 games already.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts. It's crazy. You know, Naughty Dog doesn't have that cadence.
No.
Sony Santa Monica does not have that cadence.
No.
And I would argue that Insomniac games are certainly at the same scale and definitely of the same quality of both those studios.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not a case of, oh, they are a lesser studio, that's all they're putting out.
No.
Yeah, they're bloody good. The best purchase Sony ever made, I
think. Yeah. Like, yes. Love it when an investment.
Only 300 million.
Oh, nice.
What a steal.
I mean,
what a steal.
A single Spider-Man game makes a bazillion, so... Easy.
The single spot, yeah, they've paid for that investment tenfold.
Franchise. I'm very interested to see what the sell numbers look like on this. It'll also be particularly interesting because it's PS5 only. So when this does hit 5-10 million, which I'm sure it will, it's like, damn, that's...
I think it's going to be a fast one, just like God of War, right? Oh, I guess Ragnarok was on PS4
It's cross-platform. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's a good indicator of like, okay, there's a lot of PS5s out in the world, actually.
No, I think especially with the holiday season coming up with, you know, the PlayStation 5 Slim coming out. Yeah, this is the game you buy with it because this is like the game that you pop in, you're like, holy shit, this is what my new console can do. It's staggering how good this game looks, how well it runs.
Yeah.
It's a proper technical showpiece for the PS5. So curious. Their next game is Wolverine. So super keen to see what they do there.
Hopefully we get a look at that soon as well, because Spider-Man 2 is out the way now. Okay, you've ticked that box.
Yeah, Game Awards, we want a trailer for Wolverine. But come
please,
on.
Yeah, you've got a month. Let's go. 2 months.
The other big game for the week, Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Wonder.
I sadly was meant to play a bunch of this before the episode today. It just didn't happen. But thankfully, you have played quite a bit.
I have played
of this new Mario game.
Probably, I mean, I've played like 2 or 3 hours, but I think that's enough to tell you that Nintendo just do not miss.
Would you say it's a good?
It's a good. It's a real good. So if you don't know, Super Mario Wonder is the latest 2D outing from Nintendo. I actually don't know when. What was the last 2D Mario game? Like aside from Mario Maker.
Super Mario Bros. Wii U.
Yes, that is a lifetime ago now. I mean, we've had a bunch of 3D outings since then. We've had Odyssey. We had like 3D World and Bowser's Fury. And it feels like 2D Mario was just sort of left. It just ignored.
Yeah, 2D Marios haven't had the same sort of like wow factor to them like the 3D ones for a long time.
For a long time, yeah.
I think you're right. Super Mario Maker is the last time it was like, wow, this is, you know, great again.
But even that was like, it's there's no new mechanics necessarily. It's just like, it's 2D Mario. You can make 2D Mario stages. Yeah. Super Mario Wonder, to nobody's surprise, sees you starting out with, you know, the story is real deep here. Bowser gets up to some nonsense, but...
Shocker.
He's not kidnapping Princess Peach because Super Mario Wonder is co-op. You can play up to 4 people, which is very cool. But I think its biggest gameplay twist or mechanic. I mean, every 2D Mario game is like, you know, there's a new power or two and there's these new things they explore. Like every level is super short, but it's usually got its own like little twist or mechanic or something. And then like mm-hmm. does that and you never see it again, or you see it like iterated on in another level or two. Super Mario Wonder has this thing called Wonder Seeds. So if you're looking at the footage, it's one of those, it's a main collectible in the game. You know, in Odyssey, for example, you collect moons. There's always some other collectible.
Yeah.
In this game, it is called a Wonder Seed. And what a Wonder Seed does, you collect a plant and what it does is that it kind of flips the level. It makes it very, for lack of a better term, trippy. Like, imagine the level's normal, okay? You're just walking around and there's pipes and there's enemies, but then you pick up one of these plants. Then all of a sudden the pipes are moving, they're going up and down. The level's changing. It's like being on a big drug. I don't know what you're doing, Nintendo, but it's very cool to play through. It's very, very interesting. And they use this to like introduce even like these short-lived mechanics just halfway through a level. And if you get through it, you know, you're rewarded with the game's collectible. And I just think it's amazing how you think Mario's been around for, a long time, like 30, 40 years. I'm not going to do the math now. But Nintendo never fails to impress with their creativity. And the fact that I think Mario gets a lot of hate from, you know, quote-unquote hardcore gamers because it's Nintendo, it's like a baby game. But Nintendo are just so good at putting smiles on faces. Like, the first 3 hours of this game alone, I've just smiled a lot because of, you know, you play through level, you go, oh my God, like what a cool mechanic or what a fun thing to do, or just the pure charm of it is just, it's got that Nintendo magic and that polish. I've still got a lot to go. I mean, I think this game is, I've seen it's maybe like 15-ish, 20 hours long. I'm still in the early days, but just from the mechanics I've seen, like if you're watching the video feed right now, one of the new powers you get is...
Elephant Luigi, let's go.
Elephant Luigi. I mean, you think it's a simple thing, you know, the elephant power-up is new, but what can you really do with an elephant? So, like, this is the gameplay.
So the elephant thing is like a new power-up. It's not necessarily connected to the Wonder Seeds.
No. It's like...
The Wonder Seeds are like level-altering things.
I chose a bad part to start the footage. You'll see it in this level here, but... The elephant's ability is, you know, you can flip your trunk to hit enemies, but when you run past pipes with water, you can actually fill your trunk with water as well, which lets you do things like throw water at enemies or throw water at plants that lets them grow and change the levels in like subtle ways. You know, that plant grows and all of a sudden you've got a platform to somewhere you couldn't reach before. It's such a simple thing, but... You know, you first get introduced to this power up and you slowly see how they build on it. And it's just fun. I mean, this level we're playing now is, so you've seen like I can hit the tortoiseshell up, which is actually used in some levels where you have to purposely hit a tortoiseshell up to like hit a block. It's just simple things like that you learn and they just iterate on these abilities in such clever ways. I love crawling as Elephant Luigi.
I was going to say, you're just doing like a Metal Gear Solid sneak there with the elephant, and I need this to be a nice little crossover.
That I think great. We'll get to it now. There is a Wonder Seed in this level somewhere.
So does every level have a Wonder Seed, or is that just specific to some levels?
No. Well, I mean, in typical Mario fashion, there are some levels that are just one-off things, like mini games, but typically... Mm-hmm. Typically, every level has two Wonder Seeds to collect. So one you get right at the end of the level just for finishing mm-hmm. it, and another you get for like getting the Wonder Plant and then doing that sequence, the trippy mind-altering drug part I touched on.
I've seen
some levels have three Wonder Seeds, which I'm like, it's probably hidden somewhere. I need to figure out how to get it. Not sure. Where is the Wonder Seed in this level? I just want to show it to you. But it's the way this game is structured as was that, you know, in a typical 2D Mario, there'll be three coins to get throughout the level. You can't see it because my webcam's covering it. But on the top right, you'll see there's also the same mechanic of there's three purple coins throughout a level. And you don't have to get them, but it's kind of part of the fun of figuring out where are those three coins, you know, to complete the level.
I guess it's one of those things where it's like, it gives levels replayability. Oh my goodness. Because you come back to them I want 100% this. I want to get every little thing here or whatever.
There we go.
Okay, I see. There we go.
It's Wonder Time.
Oh my goodness. This is turning into a Beatles music video. So, What's going on?
All it does, so you could run to the level, to the end of the level without touching that plant to mix things up. But as you see, you get the Wonder Seed, and all it does is it introduces a mechanic for you to overcome or something, and you have to try to get the Wonder Seed. And it happens every level. It's never the same, and it never fails to make me laugh.
The amount of times you've nearly died here, it's unreal how you are still running around. There was at least three moments that I was like, oh, it's done. He's dead. Like, yeah, that's incredible.
Well, I don't know if you saw... There, another thing I want to touch on. Did you see how I floated with my cap?
I was literally just going to ask about that. Is that like Luigi's specific character ability?
So the characters don't have specific abilities, but what you do get throughout the game are these... Oh my God, watching me struggle to get this jump.
You're really struggling.
So you throughout the game, you collect these things called badges. And I saw somebody describe it kind of like an equipment loadout, which... It really is, but it's literally, you can equip one badge, okay, but it does something. So
it's not the pick 10 system from Call of Duty.
No. Definitely not.
Hate to see it.
So the first badge they give you, you saw me use it, lets me use my cap to glide, which is cool. You get others though, like I've got one now that lets me wall climb, for example. So I haven't seen I've got like three, I think. The screen where you select them is like 20 plus badges. I don't know what they all do, but I'm interested to see if there are certain levels where you have to equip a certain badge to, you know, get a hidden seed or something. But to answer your question, the characters all play the same. There's no like, oh, Luigi jumps high, but he's more difficult to control. Mario's not a balanced character that is, you know, a jack of all trades. Princess Peach doesn't have the ability to float like she has in previous games. But I think the badge system is kind of what replaces that. So like Luigi holding his cap to float, that's kind of what Princess Peach could do in previous games. So I think it lets you tailor whatever character you want with whatever ability. But again, it's early days. I still have to unlock a lot more badges. But it is cool that they are there as like a quote-unquote light equipment loadout that lets you tailor.
Yeah.
You know, there's another badge where you always start a level with the mushroom. Like if you're struggling, you know, you're dying a lot, that's just a nice badge to have. Mm-hmm. It's a good time. Like it's weird to me talking about a Mario game because all I want to say is that it's good 2D it's good platforming generally in Mario games, but Nintendo are just so good at, I don't know, flexing their creativity and just creating just specific tailored little heartwarming or just fun moments, which is why I play Mario games. Like, they never fail to make me smile. And yeah, and the game is just, it looks good as well. It's got that good Nintendo look. Luigi's looking real good. Little right now as I race this caterpillar on skates.
Is that a caterpillar? It looks like a cat.
I don't know. Behind, look behind Luigi.
Oh, I was looking at the thing in front of you. Okay, yeah, I don't know. That's
too good.
That's that thing you can turn into in Mario Odyssey. It's a good time.
Yeah. So yeah, play
now, this game looks fantastic. It also just looks beautiful, like very, very colorful. I don't know. I get the sense that people think the 2D games are more simplistic and whatever. But
I know.
The amount of parallax going on here and the complexity of the effects is pretty cool.
Mm. Super Mario Wonder.
Very keen to play. Nice. What a nice send-off for the Nintendo Switch, I think.
It's not dead yet. Can you believe we had Tears of the Kingdom and Mario Wonder this year?
What a year, man.
Year one of Nintendo all over again. We've got Breath of the Wild and Odyssey, and here we are. Tears of the Kingdom.
What a year.
And Super Mario Wonder. I'm very keen to keep playing that.
Cool. Do you want to talk about Call of Duty?
Yeah, I'll just briefly touch on it. Let me just get the footage up. Don't mind.
So Matthew played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, the second one. Let's just give 2009.
Some context. Well, yeah, what is our Archer playing, you know? Sorry, let me just get my footage.
Sorry, that wasn't 2009. That was Modern Warfare 2. This is Modern Warfare 3. It's got Modern Warfare 2 maps, which is fucking confusing.
It's very confusing. There we go. I'm just scrubbing through some footage here.
But the game's coming out when November 11th, I think. But there was a beta last weekend or the weekend before.
So I struggled to, for like some quick context, we got given a code. And to me, maybe I'm very silly, but it wasn't obvious where to redeem it. I was Archer telling you,
Activision specific code or whatever. It's not a platform.
I'm like, listen, the code we got doesn't work. And then you're like,
listen, no. you chose to try and redeem it on the weekend that Bobby Kotick was giving keys to Phil Spencer. So, you know, there was a bit of interruption there.
So handing over the keys to Activision. But the long and the short is I got access, I got access to the beta very late. So I only played just over an hour. What I say, just remember, I'm also by no means a Call of Duty expert. Like, I love playing Call of Duty in short bursts. Like, I've played Warzone. Every time there's a new release, I'll dip in for the campaign, play a couple of hours of multiplayer, and then move on to whatever else I'm playing. I know there's my common thread throughout Call of Duty is that it always feels good to play. The fast-paced action, it makes me think, if I had the time, if I was younger, if I was younger with more disposable time, like, I would definitely invest my time into Call of Duty because it is fun. Like, I think Activision have been doing this for many years now, and every year, I feel like, again, I'm sure people who play Call of Duty every year will be able to say, like, oh no, like, this one's not as good because the movement feels awful, the weapons aren't as good, whatever. But to me, it feels like every year they just polish or they try new things to make it feel better. This one's a little bit more difficult for someone like me to pinpoint what the differences are because it, you know, it's weird that we played Modern Warfare 2 a year ago. This is Modern Warfare 3. So I'm like, what's actually changed? So apparently, I can't tell you that I felt this myself, but apparently the movement is faster. They've added more options, for flexibility of gaming. In terms of flexibility of options of things you can do, like you vault faster, you climb things faster, you run faster, you can shoot while sliding, which I thought you could do in the previous one.
So did I.
Okay. And the only new game mode that I've, which I also didn't get to try, unfortunately, but there's a new game mode called Cutthroat, which is a 3v3v3 affair where you've got a single life, which actually that sounds really good. I would have loved to have tried that. All I got to play was the typical, kill confirmed where if you kill an enemy, you've got to get their dog tag to get a point, or domination, which, as you see, what playing it, it's you've got to capture 3 points across the map, and the more points you have, the more points you get for your team. And all I can say really is, like, my big takeaway is that it feels like Call of Duty, and that's a good thing. Like, it is fun to play. I enjoy the fast-paced action. And even just the short time I played, I repeated this map two or three times. And the map design is always, I think, one of Call of Duty's strong points, where they feel balanced. Like, feels like there's no corner to hide in, for example. There's always a good movement to the maps, if that makes sense. You always die, you spawn, mm-hmm. and there's a good flow to how they, keep combat going. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my big takeaway, is that it feels good, but maybe people who put more hours into Modern Warfare 2 will have other things they could pick up on. But from my side, it is fun. Like, I'm keen to obviously play this in November. I'm going to, like I said, dive into the campaign, play a little bit of multiplayer, get destroyed in multiplayer. But yeah, it's a good time. I don't know if you've got any interest in picking up.
No, I haven't played the multiplayer I haven't seriously played the multiplayer in Call of Duty in a really long time. Mm. I'm mostly there for the campaigns, you know, in the modern context. And I thought the first Modern Warfare campaign was really good, and I was kind of very mixed on the one that we played last year. I didn't think it was as good. I think it had some cool ideas, but it was kind of like flat. A campaign in 1 year, I'm not, I definitely don't think that's what they've done. I think another team worked on the campaign for Modern Warfare 3. And, you know, this one's weird because this was meant to be the year that just an expansion came out for Modern Warfare 2, like a multiplayer expansion.
Yeah.
And then they kind of like bolted on this campaign, and they're like trying to get away with turning it into a full release. Like, whether it feels like a full release will be, I guess, up to people who purchase it on the day. But at the end of the day, people are going to buy this game, and it's going to be like the highest selling game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. It's not hard to see the sentiment around Call of Duty's shifted.
It's shifted, yeah.
A lot of people who play this game like religiously almost are its biggest critics, and they've been very vocal lately about how kind of unhappy they are.
Yeah.
I guess I don't see Modern Warfare 3 shifting that. I do think it's just maintaining the status quo currently, for better or worse.
It's weird that I don't know if they've ever done it outside of, you know, the Call of Duty's early days, where they just straight up move on to the next sequel. You know, like you said, it's usually a different studio picking up every alternate year or whatever, and then we'll have
I don't think they've done this since they started with the original Modern Warfare.
Where it's typically like, okay, 1 year you get Modern Warfare, the next year you get Black Ops, the next year you get World War II. Yeah. Like, it's always different. So I don't know what the plan is here. Like, if this is Modern Warfare 3, like, where do they go next year? Do we go back
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Do we go back to World War I, World War II? Do we go far into the future? I don't know. This franchise, it's weird because it always sells very well. And I understand why. Like, it is a good shooter. But in terms of the yearly cadence, I'm like, I don't know where you go. Like, how do you keep things fresh? Like, even this, Modern Warfare 3, like, how do you differentiate from what you released just last year?
And those sorts of plans are set in motion like 3 to 4 years prior. So, like, Microsoft now owning the franchise doesn't necessarily change what's going to happen next year, unless they go in and they go, this is garbage, we're going to scrap this, which I highly doubt they're going to do. I mean, that's just literally pouring oil on money, setting it aflame. So,
Phil Spencer, you madman.
Yeah, exactly. Phil Spencer's actually just the Joker. I don't know. I just feel like I know Call of Duty still sells what it does, so it's still popular in the mainstream sense. I just, there has been this cloud over it for such a long time now of like, this is not what it used to be, this is not, you know, the sort of experience people are looking for, and there's just been a lot of very noisy criticism of the franchise still.
Yeah.
But whether or not it changes anything is pretty much up to how it sells, and that's not really been impacted yet.
So yeah,
we'll see.
We will see. That said, I'm very keen to play the campaign and see what nonsense they've got planned.
I hope it's good because like I said, that first Modern Warfare campaign was pretty good. But last year's one, I think we both were like a bit like, on last year's one. It wasn't like the greatest.
It was fun.
It was fun. Yeah, it was totally fun. It's not bad. It was just okay.
It was fun. Yeah.
Cool. Should we move on to game releases?
Game releases. Let me get.
We are near the end of October. Can you believe it? I feel like it wasn't that long ago that we were like, wow, Spider-Man's not that far away.
Look at us now.
Yeah, wow, we were. Look at us now. We're looking at games out from today or yesterday, October 21st, right up until I think we're looking at October 27th. Which is just before the end of the year. Quite a few games this week. So let's get through them quickly. City Skylines 2 coming to PC October 24th.
Nice.
The Metal Gear Solid Collection. Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1 coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. Scene Investigators. What scene? Who knows? We'll never know. Coming to PC.
You've got to investigate October 21st.
The Lord of the Rings, Return to Moria, October 24th, coming to PC. Vertigo 2, coming to PSVR, October 24th. It's your quarterly PSVR release. Enjoy.
Nice.
Time Manon? I don't know. RPG Ecstasy. PC, iOS, and Android. Get your RPG Ecstasy here.
Nice.
Do lines of RPG off the table. Do you have a credit card? No, I'm joking. Bansen Knights coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC October 26th. Frog Detective, the entire mystery. I guess that's a very good way to be like, this is all of it. Fucking enjoy.
Are there more Frog Detective games? There must be.
I can't wait for Batman, the entire Arkham, to come out.
Love it.
PlayStation, Xbox. Apparently, Frog Detective is really good. I'm being quite rude, but apparently, it's a pretty good game. PlayStation, Xbox, Switch. Ghostbusters: Rise of the Ghost Lord. Oh my god, another PSVR 2 game. Two in a week.
Amazing.
What?
But I love that you can play Ghostbusters or Ghost Runner. So you can either run away from the people catching ghosts, or you can be that person catching a ghost. So. That's how this works, right?
I'm actually, I guess I didn't speak about it because the embargo for the review would mess with this episode, but I am playing Ghost Runner 2.
You're running away from the Ghostbusters, nice.
Yeah. Mm. Can confirm, still first person with the sword.
What? Get out.
Ghost Runner 2, PlayStation 5, Xbox, and PC, October 26th. Journey to the Foundation. Cannot believe this. A third PSVR 2 game. What is happening? Wait, hold on. What are these platforms? PSVR 2, Quest 2, and the Pico 4. What's
a Pico 4? Why were there three before them?
Oh, the Pico 4 is another VR headset. What? What is this?
Who knew?
Developed by ByteDance. Isn't that the same company that owns TikTok?
Maybe. Pico 4.
ByteDance. They created TikTok, so it's the TikTok VR headset.
I had no idea that is Pico 4 the fourth one, or is it the first?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I've never heard of it before.
So that's coming to VR headsets around the globe on October 26th. Legacy coming to PC October 26th. Big one for the week, Alan Wake 2, PlayStation 5, Xbox, and PC, October 27th. Fuck, can't wait.
I love that these guys went, we're going to delay our game because we think people are going to play Spider-Man and Mario, but they'll finish both in a week. It's cool.
Have you seen the PC specs for this thing, or the recommended specs for this?
Are they insane?
Boy, if you want to enjoy your path tracing and your ray tracing, like, I think the medium setting for path tracing on only runs at 1080p and requires a 4070.
So what you're telling me is my PC for Ants is going to melt.
Yeah, if you want path tracing, just...
No, I'll just play it.
Don't want path tracing. No. Yeah. I think this... I mean, on console, it's not going to have path tracing. No. And I think it's going to look fine on console. So, yeah. It's also like a survival horror, so you can run at 30 FPS and it's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't need to be sweaty 60 FPS gamer.
That's sweaty. Call of Duty 60 FPS. Get out of here.
Desolatium? I don't know. PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, October 27th. UFC and then the last 5, one for the week, UFC 5, PlayStation, Xbox Series X. No, PC. That's where you can get real sweaty in the octagon.
Nice.
That is right. They fight in an octagon, right?
Oh, God, I hope so. They don't fight.
Where's Kirvin when you need him?
They don't fight in the Pentagon, that's for sure.
Oh my God, what, I'd hope not. Or maybe they should. Maybe they should.
That is game releases this week. Shall we jump to news? Very interesting news week because we thought there was no news and we do actually have some pieces. As for what?
Definitely think we go with this AGDQ. No, I'm joking. We'll go with Nintendo.
Nintendo console ease transition to Switch accessor, says the evil man himself, Bowser. Doug Bowser.
What does that mean?
Is this Nintendo being self-aware going, listen, we know we're difficult. We're going to be less difficult.
Let me tell you this much. If Nintendo knew that backwards compatibility was going to be a thing, maybe it's because they haven't announced the new Switch. You know, they haven't actively said this thing exists.
Yeah.
But they are talking very roundabout ways about this thing. Mm. If backwards compatibility was a thing, they would have said it.
Mm.
Like, that is what I'm thinking. Like, they are talking about the new console generation, but they're talking in such airy-fairy vague ways that, like, why? Just, you know, like, either say yes or no, or maybe it's something they're still working on. But this whole thing of ease the transition, what the fuck does that mean?
I'm going to go ahead and say that they're not going to be backwards compatible.
You're getting maybe these reports that are saying they won't. Like, there's people, dev kits, saying it doesn't have, you know, currently. And then you get some saying that, no, we've heard from Nintendo, it's coming. Like, no one seems to really know, like, if this is going to be a thing or not. So
it's very weird because typically with handhelds, Nintendo aren't bad with backwards compatibility. It's like, if you have... Oh, wait, no, I'm speaking rubbish. A DS wouldn't be compatible with a 3DS. Or would it? I feel like there are some cases where they are like, cool, you can use your old cartridges here, it'll work.
Yeah, but I mean, the Wii U is backwards compatible with the Wii.
Mm, but that doesn't always happen, though. No, it doesn't.
Yeah. It's sort of like when the console still mimics the sort of gimmick. So, like, the Wii U still had, like... Well, it could still connect to the motion controllers because it still added its own sensor bar, whatever. Like, the new Switch is, from what we've heard, still a hybrid.
Mm.
So I don't think there's games necessarily on there that would be like, well, this won't work. But at the same time, Nintendo did that themselves within this generation. They put out the Switch Lite.
Mm.
So there are actual games that do not work on the Switch Lite unless you have like a separate Joy-Con set. So... Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, this is the quote from Doug Bowser, specifically talking about the Nintendo accounts. He says, in the past, every device we transitioned to had a whole new account system. Yeah, which was kind of insane.
It was crazy.
So you had to always create a new Nintendo console specific account for that. Fucking crazy. creating the Nintendo account will allow us to communicate with our players if and when we make a transition to a new platform. Okay. To help ease the process or transition. Listen, I don't know. I'd like to think that Nintendo cannot hope to get away with not making this thing backwards compatible. But at the same time, if they come out of this thing and they're like, it is not, like, what are people going to do? Just not buy it?
Not buy the Switch 2.
I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Unfortunately, I'm there. I will buy that Switch 2. Doesn't matter.
I mean, Nintendo already doesn't allow you to do basic things like transfer your Animal Crossing Island to a new console So if people are like, oh, but I really want to play my Animal Crossing, it's like, you can't anyway. So just fucking accept that.
Voice
but.
Chat. Remember when Nintendo got voice chat, right? No, they haven't. It's 2023.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you and I both know, having transitioned to new Switches quite recently, how kind of bonkers it is that you can't just take out your micro SD card that is formatted specifically to an Nintendo console. You plug it into new and it's like, nope, this was in another console, can't use this, have to format it. It's like, what?
In the year of our Lord and Savior 2023.
What are you talking about? It blows my mind that that's how that works. It just, it's unreal. Like, I can take a drive from a PlayStation to another PlayStation, it works.
Mm.
I can take a fucking SSD, that little thing that Microsoft makes you plug into the back, plug it into, and it just works.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they don't work if I take it to, from an Xbox to a PlayStation, because they format it differently. Like, I get that.
Mm.
But like, this is one Switch to another. Just let me
Yeah. But Nintendo are, we know, they're not great when it comes to living in present day. They're 10 years behind.
Could not believe I had to manually download every game again and then manually go and check, because their cloud system is pretty bad. So you have to manually go and check that you've uploaded cloud data for everything because, hey, if you decide that you're going to turn off your account, it just like, boom, gone. All that stuff's gone. Like,
yeah. It's madness.
God bless everyone transitioning to a new console, which they think will ease the transition if this is what they think is easy right now.
I hate to see us.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll announce this thing before the end of the year?
When is the Switch announced? Why do I feel like that was an end of year announcement?
It was October.
Was it October? Okay. So I'm not, and then it launched in like March.
March.
Mm.
I don't think they're going to have the same short time frame.
Yeah,
I think that was very specific to the Switch.
Listen, Jeff Keighley's still got the Game Awards coming. Can you imagine?
You know, I'm thinking of that as well. I just don't know if Nintendo wants to do that there. You know, I could be wrong.
Why wouldn't they though? Like, it's if you're going to announce...
I feel like they just do their own Direct.
Yeah, but if you do a Direct, you know Nintendo fans are going to watch anyway. But if you do it at a Game Awards show, you're going to get lots more gamers watching.
I agree with you. Like, I'm fully on board with you. I just don't think Nintendo thinks that way anymore.
No.
That's why they started the whole Direct thing in the first place. So
Nintendo's like, we won't do it unless we can have that one dude whose name I forget clicking with every Direct.
Oh, yeah, the president, yeah.
Let's see the next game.
He'll just start a Direct and he'll have two hands up.
Oh, wow. It's like, we see what you did there.
Hilarious. You'll be like, see you next time for a special announcement, and he'll do two clicks. And he'll be like,
it's happening.
Hi, I mean Nintendo.
My goodness.
Next news story. Should we do Xbox and Call of Duty?
Okay.
We were just talking about Call of Duty here. So,
let's do it.
Yes, the sale is closed. Hurrah.
We touched on this last week, if you missed it.
Yeah, part of the news this week that isn't included in the story is that no Activision and Blizzard games are coming to Game Pass this year. That will be a 2024 thing. Phil Spencer kind of like confirmed that in a interview he did on the official Xbox podcast. Because a lot of people were thinking like, ooh, they're just going to shadow drop some Activision games, you know.
Just push the button. Just push the share button.
Take some time.
Yeah.
Take some time. The big thing that he kind of confirmed here, which is interesting to me, is that he said Call of Duty is, quote, 100%, the goal is to have 100% parity across all platforms as much as Microsoft can for launch and content. So if you've been following Call of Duty for a while, you'll know that PlayStation signed a deal with Activision for many years where they got content that appeared on their platform before Xbox, sometimes for up to a year. And Phil Spencer is kind of like, nope, that's not our goal. If you're a player, you're a player. You kind of just want to get it, you know, as soon as it's out.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain that if Call of Duty wasn't, you know, as big as it was, this game wouldn't even be cross-platform in the first place.
Mm.
But it just makes a lot more sense for Microsoft to keep it on both, because making more money, so why not make it, you know, like to give Xbox players parity would just muddy the waters. Mm. So, yeah. He says, we have no goal of somehow trying to use Call of Duty to get you to buy an Xbox console. I want the Call of Duty nation, to feel supported across all platforms. Yeah, sure. Call of Duty is bigger than a console. It makes tons of money every year.
Mm.
To try and use it to drive console sales is not going to work.
You're shooting yourself in the foot if you're giving PlayStation players like a worse experience. Like, why would you do that?
It also flies in the face of a lot of the shit he's been saying for the past 2 years. So for him to go back on that would kind of make him look kind of dumb. will he do that for other Activision games? Absolutely. Yeah. Like, there are going to be a bunch of Activision games that are going to be exclusive, almost certainly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Diablo 5.
Sure.
StarCraft 3. You heard it here first.
Oh, God. I cannot ever see that being greenlit under Microsoft. We'll see.
Should we stick with Xbox and just touch on the really good month that is Game Pass this month? Look at me saying month twice. It's the month of Halloween. It's the spooky October. So, of course, in a nice big old surprise, Dead Space, the remake that launched just earlier this year, is now, I think it's out on Game Pass already, or is it coming to Game Pass already?
It says October 26th. Okay. So soon.
Soon. If you're listening to this on Monday, it's just two more little days.
If you don't want to play Alan Wake 2, but you want to play a spooky game.
And just to be clear, like, this is a remake. I know there were concerns like, no, it's the original. It's like, no, this is
not the actual remake.
The original's been on Game Pass for a lifetime now. This is the remake. And there's a whole lot of other cool games coming out. I mean, Like a Dragon Ishin as well, that launched same period, like February this year, I want to say. Football Manager 2023, City Skylines 2.
No, not football. F1.
Oh, sorry, F1 Manager.
Different sport. It's got four wheels. My bad. Not sorry. Two legs. Yeah.
My bad. City Skylines 2, Frog Detective, which we touched on earlier. The Entire Mystery coming to Game Pass. Miniko's Night Market, Headbangers, and Joussant.
Joussant looks pretty good. Mm. I'm quite keen on that. Yeah, there's a bunch leaving Game Pass as well, as is normal. It's kind of two big ones. So Gunfire Reborn is, that's not one of the big ones, but Kill It With Fire, Persona 5 Royale, that's one of them, quite a big one leaving, and Signalis, which both of us played earlier this year. Fantastic game.
Game Pass, real good.
Yeah, and it is leaving. So, I mean, you are never going to finish Persona 5 Royale before the end of the month. Play Signalis. It's like 9 hours. It's good. It's spooky as well. When the little zombie things scream, I shit myself. It's a great time.
Love to see it. Shall we touch on the 3D analog?
Boop.
Okay. Ooh. Sorry, this doesn't look... Oh, there we go, I suppose. There's not much to see in the site anyway. I know it's not formatted right for the video feed at the moment, but this is what a console that... let me just read this opening tagline. It's analog 3D, the future is here. 64 bits of pleasure. Now you're thinking, whoa, what does that mean?
Whoa, 64 bits.
No emulation. It's
at least 63, then more than I'm used to. Damn.
It is a Nintendo 64. Well, they say not an emulator, but it's a Nintendo 64 console.
So it is an emulator, because like if you've kept up with what Analog does, they do full FPGA like engineered consoles. So if you're unaware, FPGA stands for field programmable gate array, and it's essentially these microprocessors that can be reprogrammed to kind of mimic any other sort of hardware.
Okay.
Now, you've got devices out in the wild that use FPGAs because they're pretty accessible, like the Mista is one of them. And what they do is, like, if someone develops what they call like a core, you can load the core onto the FPGA and it tells it to act in a particular way.
Mm.
And that can be used to directly mimic the hardware specifications and behaviors of consoles. So what you get is a piece of hardware that absolutely acts and behaves in the same way as a Nintendo 64 or like Analog's previous device, the Analog Pocket, like a Game Boy Advance. So when you place a cartridge in there, it has no idea like that this is a different thing. And this is all done through reverse engineering, which makes it legal, because if you are allowed, if you can reverse engineer a console without having access to its documentation or like specifications of how it was built, blah, 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 this is completely legal. And it's then not emulation, so that people get the full hardware experience of these games. But Analog goes a lot further, where it like includes wireless controllers. It's got like upscaling to 4K. It says here for the Analog 64, you'll be able to use original display modes. You can use the original game's frame rate, or you can boost it in certain modes, like all of that stuff. It's pretty, these things are really, really cool if you're into, if you've got like old games and you want a very modern way to play them, which doesn't include having to find converters for your TV. This is like plug in an HDMI port, but get an accurate experience out. They are expensive. Like,
I'm sure
they Analog made a SNES, or was it an NES or an SNES-1 a while back? I think it was the Analog NT. That was like $600. The Analog Pocket is $250. And then on top of that, it's also like, if you can get it, because these things sell out almost instantly.
Yeah, well, so I just clicked over to the Pocket, and a lot of these looking real sold out.
They all sold out. They sell out within seconds of being made available, yeah. Very cool. The Super NT was $200. I was wrong. And then they made, so the Super NT was the Nintendo SNES. They've made one for the Mega Drive, the Sega Mega Drive. Then the Analog Duo. What was this mimicking? I can't tell, actually.
NT Mini Noir.
And then the Pocket, yeah. The Analog Pocket is their most recent one, and that thing has been pretty cool. Nice.
It is a very, very gorgeous console. Whoa, there's Shrek on here. Shrek, Fairy Tale, Freedom.
Oh, damn. There was a Shrek Game Boy game?
Who knew?
I would be kind of interested in the Analog 64 purely because that means I could play Majora's Mask as it was originally made. Yeah. Will I spend $500 just for that experience? Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
It's coming out next year. That's all they've said.
Nice. Last two pieces of news. Let's touch on the awful King Kong game that launched a week or two ago. So if you don't know, what's this game called? It's like King Kong, something Skull Island. Skull Island, Rise of Kong. It is a terrible game. Like, I've seen footage from it. It just looks bad. And apparently, there's a report now that says it was made in a year by overworked developers. It was developed by no more than 20 people, and you can 100% see that. It is not a good looking game, and I do not think it plays well at all. But like, so, when was this announced, actually?
It was only like a few months ago, I feel like. And even then, the announcement was like, oof, what the fuck is this? Like, this looks... So yeah, it says here, The Verge spoke to developers from Iguana Bee. Pretty cool name. A small studio based in Santiago, Chile.
Yeah.
And that their publisher, whose name is Game Mill, which is real apt for what happened here.
What happened, yeah.
Gave them only 1 year to develop the game from scratch. The process of the started in June 2022, and it was aimed to end June 2nd of this year. So 1 year development process. That is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But as you can see here, like, who's ever going to play, who's ever going to trust a game from Game Mill all over again? After probably that, never again. So, yeah. Kind of sad for the studio themselves. Hope they got a decent amount of money for the work they put in and aren't like negatively affected by the reception of this. Given it's only a year's worth of work, they got something out, which is more than most people could say was possible in that time. So,
yeah. Very sad. But this game does not look good.
Yeah, it's bad. Looks real bad.
Real bad. But in other better news, you told me about this smiling dog.
I came across this earlier this week, and I thought when I saw the tweet it was a joke.
Yeah.
But it's like an actual thing. So streamer and speedrunner JSR, he's got a Shiba Inu, one of the internet's most beloved dogs, named Peanut Butter.
What a name.
Which is a great name.
Love it.
And Peanut Butter is going to become the first ever dog to speedrun a game at Awesome Games Done Quick in January. So Peanut Butter apparently has been trained to speedrun a game called Gyromite, which is a NES puzzle platformer. And he uses like an accessory or like a custom controller where he just like hits it with his paw, and then JSR like rewards him with treats as he plays. And apparently he can complete this game in under 26 minutes, which is pretty cool.
He's like, I will.
I mean, the fact that the dog can complete the game at all is fucking insane.
I will get these treats in under 26 minutes, says this dog. It's very cool.
JSR said that he added no assistance, no autofire, no macros or macro states used. So the dog is playing the game completely. You can, there's a tweet that is like a trailer for the speed run, which I assume is the trailer that was sent to GDQ to allow the entry. It's real wholesome. It's really good.
Why won't you play video? It's fine. I'll watch
no,
it.
No, it's in the tweet.
Sorry, I'm clicking the wrong thing.
Yeah, it's in
I'll watch this. I'm here. Love to see it. This dog's like, yes, the treats. tell me more about the treats. I love awesome news like that.
It's good, I can't wait to watch this run go down. So yeah, that's cool. JSR himself is going to be speedrunning Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse at AGDQ as well. He only does it in 40 minutes though, so really, who's the superior runner here?
He trained his dog too well. On that wholesome bit, that is news.
Oh, is that it?
Oh. That's it. We got everything.
Yeah. Cool. So that means we get to move on to questions. If you want to send us a question, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can message us on any of our social platforms at checkpointchat.
You can ping us anywhere. I can't for the life of me remember where I got this question from, if it was on Instagram, whatever, but we got a question from one Bradley Roberts who said, question for next podcast. Can Matthew please wear proper pants and show us the blind situation? This has been bothering.
Yes, I forgot about this.
This has
I
been bothering about this. For longer than it needed to. Sorry, audio listeners. So remember, we
look how concerned he is about the audio listeners, though.
Yeah, audio listeners, we told you. I told you an hour and 10 minutes ago.
That's true. We
did warn rush
you.
Home.
We did warn you.
There's a fire. You left the kettle on. Okay, there's a fire at home.
So explain this blind situation.
You left the kettle. What does that even mean? You left your stovetop kettle on. Okay, now it's just whistling.
That's very different. An electric kettle is like, it should turn off. If it doesn't, you should remove that kettle from your household.
Let's just recap, okay, the blind situation. If you're looking at the video, it's like, Alessandro was perplexed last week. He's like, oh my God, you've got light coming through. Actually, that's not what he said. He said, your blinds look weird. Are they not gray on gray? What's going on? And I'll explain. No, there's light coming through. There's two sheets, blah, blah, blah. And I said, listen, I'm wearing boxes. I'm not going to get up and show you, but I can this week. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go push the blind. You'll see that it is two sheets together. Okay.
Okay. Matthew's getting up. I'm just narrating right now. Two sheets. Okay. So, okay. Now, okay. I need to understand now, how does this work? Do you smoosh them together to make them opaque?
No, I just think that it's just because they've like warped a bit, I guess, with age. Like there's a gap between them that light is coming through. So it's
okay, so they're not meant to be like that.
No, it's funny, it's just because it looks way worse on the video feed for some reason. When I look at it, I'm like, oh no, there's some
so can you see outside right now through the blinds?
No, I can't. It's grey. It's completely grey. So you have to look.
No, I understand, but that's when they smush together. Like, when they're not, there's like blue. Oh, what in the fucking world is happening? Oh my God, I can't. You need to go back on video and watch what that just looked like.
What did it look like?
Because that looked crazy. Like some UFO was just outside your window projecting light inward. Like, it looked wild.
Well, now you know why I keep the blinds closed, because you can like barely see my face now. It's so bright out here.
Yeah, the exposure is pretty bad now.
My webcam's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, the webcam is dying. Hang on,
let's just...
I was not designed for this.
Let's just get my phone light to my face, yeah. Oh, there we go. Perfect. I'll just podcast like this. Listen, audio listeners, I told you, you got to get your... You should have got home. You'd see this premium content right here.
This is premium. If we ever had a Patreon, this would only go up on
that. I hope that addressed the concerns, though, of what is going on.
No.
Here. No, not
that
at all.
Actually... That just caused more questions, to be honest.
Lenska says that she has been saying I should get a green screen. Like, I've got space for a green screen. I mean, in our apartment for ants, where am I going to put it? Like, on the ceiling.
You could just like...
I'll just mount my desk horizontally and I'll lie on my back.
Also,
wait, that doesn't make sense.
I think what most people don't realize with green screens is your lighting has to be impeccable.
Oh.
Otherwise, it does not cut you out correctly.
Alessandro says the lighting has to be impeccable on the green screen, else it does not cut you out correctly. There,
because if you're lighting parts of the green screen with light, so then some of the green is lighter than other parts of the other green, it can't chroma key out one green thing. Lenska's angry, I can tell.
No, she's like calling all sponsors, help poor Matthew.
Algato, just get in here.
Please.
Helpless man.
Algato, look at this.
Imagine Algato hears us and they send you that new teleprompter they have.
Why? What? How would that help my situation?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
All the teleprompter would be is be me going like, I'm so sorry that you can't see behind me. It's so bright. It's just so bright.
Oh, could put the teleprompter in front of the window. It might block out some light.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, those blinds, I don't know. They work. It's just, it looks worse in the video feed than they should.
I can't wait for you to go back to the video and see when you were rolling them up how fucking wild that looked on video.
What did it look like? Explain it to me. Is it the sheets?
The white turned in the blue turned into like white, and it was just like,
no, because that
it just looked like a strobing effect. Like,
okay, here are my hands. Okay, they are the gray parts. Okay, these, my hands are two separate sheets. Okay, they are the gray strips. That's the point. Is that when you open the blind, when you close the blinds, they cover the light, okay, but when you pull them apart, they overlap, and then there's white. I mean, it's not rocket
science. I understand that. Like, I saw it at a friend's house yesterday, and I was like, oh shit, this is what Matty means. Like, I get this. It's like separated. Oh my God, not again. Oh no, I hate this. Oh my God. So I understand that when the gray sheets aren't, when they're not aligned, then it's meant to be like you can't see outside.
Yes.
But right now, if I'm looking at it, it's blue.
Yeah, I know.
So does that mean the gray sheets are aligned?
No.
What? Okay, fuck this. I can't anymore.
Okay, so those blue strips are gray strips. It's just because there's light coming through that it doesn't look like it. It's like, poor audio listeners. Hey, we told them to go home like an hour ago. Okay, it's not my fault.
I can't anymore. I'm gonna give you blinds for Christmas.
Listen, you'll see firsthand one day. Okay, you can understand what is going on here.
That's actually true. It won't be. It's not that far away either. We'll have a in-person recording for the first time. Who knew that after COVID, our next in-person recording would be in fucking country. London?
Who knew?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Who knew? That means I have to pack my microphone as well. God damn it.
Good luck.
And then I can see the blind in person. Then I
we'll
can
put
see
you on the couch, but we'll put you outside. Outside the window.
I mean, I don't need to sit in frame with you. I'll just sit on the couch like a, what's that musician we like who's funny? Tom Cardi, like holding the mic.
Just tell me to check my butthole. That's so rude.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's questions for this week.
On that bombshell, Jesus. If you want to send us questions about blinds or whatever else, you can checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on our social channels at Checkpoint Chat. And that is the show for this week.
That is
the show for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
We are thankful for your support.
Always.
And we'll also be back next week. So if you hate us...
See you next week.
Too bad. Yeah, too bad. Too bad.
See you next week.
Now, if you hate us, why are you listening? Why are you at you the know. End of this episode? What's happening? Jesus.
Put in leave
quite
for,
rude.
Put in leave for next week so you can be at home to witness more Blanche shenanigans.
I do love Blanche shenanigans. They're great. Ready.
Okay.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Okay, bye.